Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We are supposed to connect with Harley Schlanger. Let's see if we can connect to Harley and make a connection. So something's going on here. Let's see if we can actually... We'll see if we can. It's nice and loud, isn't it? Yeah, you can hear lots of bleep, bleep, bleep sounds.
Hello.
Hello, Harley. I guess the studio's having trouble connecting, so we have you connected here now on my end. So let's rock and roll. You have a bunch of topics to talk about. Make sure your volume is nice and loud so we get a good sound connection. Okay.
All right. How does this sound?
Sounds good. Okay. I'd like you to start from the top. We have an article to review today too. Let's get rocking and rolling in what that article is about.
With the article I sent you?
Yeah, that's the one that deals with some of these latest issues.
Yeah, what I took up is that there's an attempt by...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Harley, go ahead.
I'm speaking.
Yeah, I know. That was another window that popped open on me. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. So I took what Trump has been saying about an infiltrator and Spygate... and said that the media is trying to turn this into a semantic issue of whether there was spying, infiltration, whether Trump is just paranoid, whether this was done to protect Trump or to protect America, and they're missing the whole point. What was done was a sting operation. There were three operatives,
right.
Joseph Mifsud, Alexander Downer, and Stefan Helper.
Right. And Stefan Helper is a very bad guy. He's shown up before, hasn't he? Stefan Helper.
Yeah, he's a cross between a CIA, MI6, FBI joint asset is what it's actually called.
Right.
And he works at Cambridge. He's very close to Sir Richard Dearlove, who is the mentor of Christopher Steele,
right.
Who's the author of the dossier that was initially used.
Right.
So what I did is I took in the article the chronology of the events to show that, first of all, they were running operations against Trump before they had any so-called evidence of Russian intervention. This came from a meeting Trump had with the head of the British Signals Intelligence, the GCHQ, not Trump, that Brennan had.
Right.
John Brennan met with...
Yeah, Brennan was one of the main architects of this. That's why I'm totally boggled by the stupid comments from Troy Gowdy and also Napolitano, the attorney that the judge that often talks on Fox News. These people are completely out of touch with reality, aren't they?
Gowdy's comments were terrible, and we can get to those in a second, but to make the point here, what was decided by Brennan and working directly with Clapper, both
right.
of whom have terrible records. Clapper, as a person covering up for the data collection, the metadata collection of the NSA, and then lying about it.
Right.
Brendan, two things I pointed out. One was, as soon as the coup occurred in Kiev in 2014, Brennan went to Kiev to coordinate the consolidation of the neo-Nazi networks in Kiev that were responsible for the coup against Yanukovych.
Right.
Brennan went and provided them operational advice, logistical support, weapons, and Brennan established a liaison with the government that was brought in, which was anti-Russian, and which was provoking Russia through its attacks on ethnic Russians and Ukrainians in eastern Ukraine.
Right.
Now, Brennan also, as you well know and your listeners know, was the person most responsible for providing weapons to the so-called moderate rebels who were against Assad in Syria. Weapons that went right through their hands directly to ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Right, and they did this on purpose, by the way, and he was in working in collaboration with John McInsain, I call him, who actually took selfie photos near this training town. It was a conjoint operation between the CIA and Mossad to train these maniacs to do a regime change against Bashar al-Assad by us.
Now, the reason I brought up Brennan's trip to Ukraine and Brennan's role with the Al-Qaeda and ISIS is that who was Brennan up against in those two cases? In Ukraine, he was up against Manafort, because Manafort was an advisor to Yanukovych, and Manafort knew of the CIA dirty operations with neo-Nazis to carry out a coup in Ukraine. So Brennan not only was targeting Trump, he targeted Manafort. In terms of Al-Qaeda and ISIS being armed and trained by the CIA and the Mossad, who blew the whistle on that? Michael Flynn.
Right.
He was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Yeah.
So who are the two people, who have, most important people, who have been indicted by Mueller's special counsel?
And Flynn's son bankrupted by this whole process.
They're Manafort and Flynn.
Right.
And so you begin to see that Brennan was operating on a strategic approach to how to set up the Trump campaign. So then they used Mifsud to meet with Papadopoulos. He told Papadopoulos, look, we've got thousands of emails, the Russians do, it's dirt on Hillary Clinton. And he said he would set up meetings with Russians. So Papadopoulos, being a somewhat inept idiot, sent emails to that effect back to the Trump campaign. What was the Trump campaign response? We're not interested. They didn't want to follow it up initially. They
right.
said, you could look at it, but we're not going with this.
Right.
Now, then this Papadopoulos gets drunk in a bar, in a high-rent bar in London, and starts blabbing to the High Commissioner to the United Kingdom from Australia, Alexander Downer, who happens to be another close friend of Sir Richard Dearlove.
Right, and also these guys are part of the Five Eyes Network, aren't they?
Exactly. So then Downer reports back to the FBI a month later that he had this conversation with Papadopoulos. And then Papadopoulos is brought to London by Stefan Halper, who pays him $3,000 to write a completely useless, worthless piece of garbage report on oil in the Eastern Mediterranean. Why they would go to him, there's no reason for it. But in the process, Halper was giving him more information on the so-called Russian treasure trove of Hillary Clinton documents. Now, all of this is a classic sting operation. This is what the FBI did against Martin Luther King, against the anti-war movement, against the Klan. You know, there's a time in the 1970s where if it wasn't for the FBI agents infiltrating the Klan, there wouldn't have been a Ku Klux Klan. The FBI did it with Abscam Brylab. You remember that?
Right.
They targeted a number of congressmen. What the FBI, and they also did it when they pick up mentally weak Muslims and provide them with weapons training, weapons, maps.
Well, even the guy that did the first attack on the World Trade Center towers was actually a weak-minded munitions expert from Egypt that was actually brought in by the FBI to do a simulated explosion in the garage of, I think, World Trade Center 1, and they attributed to this Muslim, blind Muslim cleric, but in fact it was actually an FBI operative, Egyptian munitions expert, and then he realized they were giving him live munitions rather than just a simulation, and he tried to back out of it. They gave him some gas, and apparently it killed six people from the toxic cyanide gas. So this is, again, more FBI BS is what's going on.
Yeah. So what happened then is Brennan and Clapper went to Comey, and they said, look, we have this from Signals Intelligence, the GCHQ in Britain. We now have reports from inside the Trump campaign that they're talking to the Russians. We now have the evidence that the Russians hacked the DNC. They had no evidence that the Russians hacked the DNC. Someone provided those documents to Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, not the Russians.
Well, we know the guy that did it, and he actually died not long afterward by handing over the actual copies of the hard drive itself. And it was handed directly to WikiLeaks. It wasn't through a Russian proxy, was it?
No.
Yeah.
So what they did then is they create a crime, they create a paper trail, then they hand this to Comey, and Comey then takes Peter Strzok, who was the FBI liaison to Brennan.
Right.
And Strzok is sent to London to meet with Christopher
Steele. Keep that up.
Cancer.
So, Harley, we have you back. Let's continue with this article. And we have lots of things going on. We now, of course, the meeting's on between Trump. He's meeting with the main envoy from North Korea, I think today. Obviously, there's some kind of documents going back and forth. The elements that I think are going to make a solution to this problem, not just a kind of a temporary fix, is number one, they have to take the War Crimes Tribunal off the table so they're not going to prosecute Kim and his generals and his senior military and other people like his sister for war crimes, because there's lots in North Korea. Number two, they need to have a really rapid staged reduction and elimination of nuclear weapons before the sanctions are taken off, although, to be honest with you, the kind of sanctions they're doing are causing, in some ways, much more pain than would be positive for actually solving the problem. And third, they need to actually have retraining as well as food supplies to the people that are starving to death and have foot-long parasites in their gut. So the main issue that I think that's interfering with this is the relationship between Kim and China and Russia. It's not just China alone. Kim is basically a proxy and has been over generations, over three generations, as a proxy for the former Soviet Union and for China. Now that China is basically violating its charter to not supply coal and other things or goods to North Korea, they have done some things, but they're actually kind of playing it back and forth. And what I'm concerned about is that China's basically made a linkage between the solving the North Korea problem and the treaty issues, which are the tariffs and so on. I think we need to solve the treaty stuff, you know, the tariff stuff with China. I mean, either way. And Trump wants to get a deal. He wants a deal that's win-win for both us and China. I don't think that's a problem. Bringing China into the trade partnership, the TPP, was a smart deal, which Obama, by the way, didn't include China. That's craziness. But on the other hand, China doesn't need to be so aggressive like in the Spratly Islands or in trying to push Kim to say no and accept a deal with America, because China will get a deal with us if he just deals with you know, the deal maker, Trump. And he wants to institute things that are bilateral trade. And maybe some of the policies that they learned from our ancestors, like Hamiltonian financing of the actual infrastructure of the economy rather than pouring more money into the bubble economy, which has unfortunately happened since 2008-09. Your comments, Harley, because I honestly think some of the things Trump is doing is good, and other things are just plain stupid. He's got bad advisors around him, and I don't know if this is going to work because of that problem.
Well, yeah, let's go back to the Russiagate for a minute, because I disagree with you again on some of this China stuff. And the problem is not from China, it's coming from Trump's administration. And that has to do with Russiagate. Look, the story is...
Well, the Russiagate's one big piece of it, because I think we should be negotiating with Russia. I don't think we should have sanctions at all. I think the sanctions are counterproductive, so I agree with you totally on that. But there's a separate piece that's with China that's completely separate from the Russiagate.
Well, no, it's not in the following sense. the people who are running Russiagate are the ones who still have extraordinary influence in the current CIA and the State Department. And these are people who have ties to Chuck Schumer, ties to the Bush networks, the Obama crowd, who have sabotaged every deal with North Korea. But I'll come back to that in a second.
Right.
That's why it's so crucial that the investigation take up this question of the interconnection between British intelligence and people like Brennan, Clapper. Comey was brought in on it, but Comey wasn't the senior player. Comey's turning out more and more to appear to be an idiot.
Right.
Who is being used by senior people in the Justice Department, like Bruce Orr, whose wife, Nellie Orr, worked with Fusion GPS, the company that paid Christopher Steele. Andrew McCabe, who may end up getting indicted for lying, who was the chief assistant to Comey. These are the people, and Peter Strzok, who was Brennan's liaison in the FBI. They ran the operation against Trump for a simple reason. They did not want Trump to overturn the Bush-Obama policy toward Russia and China. The Russians and Chinese were more than willing to talk with Trump, but they wanted to make sure that they had cleared away the obstacles. For example, one of the obstacles is Ukraine. The Russians are not guilty of anything in Ukraine except defending a population in eastern Ukraine, which is under attack from the ancestors, or the descendants, I should say, of Nazis.
Exactly. In fact, we remember this about four Christmases ago of both the Donbass kids, and they actually put YouTube videos up saying, please don't let the eastern Ukrainians kill us. And they were actually shelling civilian communities with shells, and they had no military defense against these shelling of populated areas, did they?
And the government in Kiev was fully backed by Hillary Clinton, by Victoria Nuland, and by Obama.
Yeah.
And Trump, who was being advised by Manafort, said he was going to stop that.
Right.
Brennan, at the same time, Brennan was saying we've got to continue to provide support to the Kiev government. Now, here's where the problem comes up with Russia and China.
Right.
Who are the people that Trump has to rely on in the Congress? Republicans who worked with the Democrats to pass more sanctions against Russia. This is the way that you know, and then let me give you an example. You mentioned Gowdy. Gowdy was an idiot, what Gowdy said, that there's no evidence.
I don't know how he could actually screw up his face and actually say that. Like, does he think the rest of us are a bunch of idiots? He's completely disqualified himself as being a true, pro-American conservative. He's an idiot. I don't know what the hell he's up to, because past comments would seem to make sense. Same with Napolitano, this judge who I usually respect. This was an idiotic, stupid, in-your-face comment that I just don't respect.
But, Bill, this is what I point to in the article. They're operating on the assumption that Trump is saying that there was an infiltrator in the campaign. It wasn't an infiltrator, it was a sting operation. And Gowdy should know the difference.
It was an intel investigation, yes. And it's a totally different thing from a criminal investigation. Yes. And he had no right to make a statement like that when the whole thing was to contrive something so they could present it to a Congress that they hoped would have a blue wave this coming November 18th, 2018, so they could impeach Trump. It wasn't to try to just directly prosecute him. It was to provide enough evidence that the Congress would then proceed with impeachment. That's the whole purpose of this.
This is why I'm saying there's a problem coming from the Republican Party with Russia and China. Devin Nunes, who otherwise has done a brilliant job in exposing the Christopher Steele connection to the FBI, what did Nunes say the other day? He said, well, we know the Russians were interfering with our election. The Russians are our enemies.
That's stupid comments too, isn't it?
Well, this is someone who opposes Trump's approach to Russia. The only Republican who's really good on this is Dana Rohrabacher out in California. And he's being attacked as a Putin puppet. Now, this is where you see the problem. As long as you have neoconservatives in both parties, as well as in the State Department, the Justice Department, the CIA,
right,
they're going to continue to push buttons and pull strings that are going to provoke responses from Russia and China. At the same time, whenever Trump is talking to the Chinese, whenever he's talking to the Russians, they work things out fine. And the president has to realize that the problems are not coming from China, but from his own administration. the Chinese have said they will open to American autos. The only thing the Chinese won't open to is American banking, and
right.
they're right to refuse to do that.
Wow.
So this whole operation to blame the Chinese for North Korea, the two problems, Pence and Bolton.
Attention business owners and independent.
I want to break. We're talking about the Skripal incident again. The dumb doctors, who are obviously toxicologists, and I am, didn't realize this was not a nerve agent. This is a long-acting hallucinogen, similar to LSD, but lasts a month. In fact, this agent was being tested in Vietnam to see if it might be used to kind of paralyze psychically the Viet Cong. And they realize it's too damn dangerous. It might affect our troops and blow over and make them literally be in a fugue state for a month. And if you don't maintain hydration, they die because they won't eat or drink. And people don't understand this. These people, the Skripal, was directly an agent that both America and Britain had, and Russia never had this particular hallucinogenic agent that was actually researched and tested in Vietnam. I know from lots of classified sources. Okay, please continue.
Well, the important thing is it wasn't the doctors. The doctors initially said they thought it was an opioid, and the British government came out and said it was Novichok done by Russia. So the British government probably was responsible for the poisoning of the Skripals.
Of course it was, and it was done very sloppily, which means if it was a true nerve agent, it would have killed other people that are just bystanders.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So... but what we're seeing is that and the false flag chemical weapons story about Duma, the Netanyahu story that Iran is violating the nuclear agreement, the, what's the other one? Now this fake assassination in Ukraine, one after another, they just keep coming.
Oh, yeah, and they could easily validate that the Iranians have not violated. Just bring a team in there and look at not only the other but the military sites. I'm sure if they just made a phone call between Trump and the chief, Ayatollah Khamenei, he would just say, sure, we can actually send a team in, maybe a United Nations team to actually check to see these other sites.
No, they already had the team in, the International Atomic Energy.
I know that. What I'm saying, I don't know if they went to all the military sites, but that's easy to do too, isn't it?
Sure. And so what you have is one after another effort to try to blow apart any potential for cooperation with Russia. Now, let me add one other thing to this, which is extremely important. What happened in Italy over the last week?
Right.
Because this gets at what it is they're really afraid of.
Right.
In Italy, people, including some friends of mine, are part of this coalition.
Right.
That got elected.
Right.
The League, which is the former separatist movement, the Liga North, which is no longer separatist. They're now a national sovereign anti-Euro movement.
Right.
They joined with the Five Star Movement, and the two of them had over 50% of the vote in the last election.
Right, so that amalgamation has now taken over the government, isn't it?
Well, and the reason they got the vote was because of the bail-ins, the austerity, the collapse of Italy under the EU policy. So it was a vote against the EU. Now, they then tried to form a government. And they brought in a man named Paolo Savona to be the finance minister. Savona is a former economics minister, a former trade minister, former head of the Confederation of Industry, very well-respected economist.
Right.
But he's also a Euroskeptic. He said he doesn't think the euro can work. He doesn't think the EU will reform itself. And there may be a need to look for a way out of the euro.
Right.
So the bureaucrats in Brussels and the bankers in London and Frankfurt told the president of Italy, Mattarella, you can't let this government be seated. And so Mattarella said, because of this discussion of leaving the euro, that would make it an unconstitutional government, therefore I can't let him be seated, therefore you can't form the government. Now, in other words, we don't care if it was a democratic election that gave you over 50%, the bankers are going to dictate the terms to the Italian people. This led to an incredible uproar, especially when his second choice to form the government was based on bringing in as a prime minister a former IMF official known as Mr. Scissors because of his budget cutting.
Well, no. This is not Edward Scissorhands. Remember that movie came up about 20 years?
It's close to that.
Yeah, it's like I said, only there's a different kind of Scissorhands, right?
Well, he cuts off your hands.
Right. Pretty funny.
What happens, there was such an uproar in Italy that they had to drop this plan because not even the bad guys in the parliament wouldn't vote for this government.
Right.
So he went back to the League and back to the Five Star Movement and said, go ahead and form a government. You just can't put Savona as a finance minister. So they made him, I think, the trade minister or something. But the person they appointed as prime minister is anti-austerity and pro-China. And so you're seeing in Italy now a follow-up to Brexit, to the Trump election, to the Austrian election. By the way, we also just learned that there was an effort to go to the Austrian president, von der Bellen, and tell him not to seat the FPÖ in the government, even though they were the largest vote-getter in the last election. And he, being a somewhat decent person, said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. So we're now seeing a spreading revolt. Now, in the middle of this, what's happening? Deutsche Bank is melting down. The Federal Reserve just put it on a watch list yesterday. Deutsche Bank's derivatives are on the verge of popping. The Deutsche Bank is one of the largest holders of Italian bonds. If the Italian government says we're going to renegotiate these bonds, you could see Deutsche Bank either go up in smoke or the German government have to bail them out, in which case they would be reversing their commitment to no bailouts to the European Union. So the EU is hanging on by a thread right now. It's blowing apart.
Right.
Macron was just in Russia, and what did he do? He said, we want to work with you. Macron was in China. He said, we'll work with the Chinese. Now, you can't trust Macron, but he's beginning to look at the fact that Brussels and the European Union...
He's starting to break with EU control freaks, too, isn't he?
Yeah. And Theresa May is going to be out soon because she's dragging her heels on Brexit, even though the British people voted for Brexit.
Yeah, she's always been against it. She tries to pretend she's sort of for it. She's never been for it.
Well, she's working with Tony Blair to try and get a second referendum.
Oh, my gosh. Tony Blair, who's another Euromaniac, isn't he?
Yeah. So, now, if you put all this together, what do we see? This is exactly what I've been talking about with you for the last 3 years.
Right.
The banking system is crumbling. The attempts to save it by bailouts and by destroying national sovereign mechanisms to protect the people, that's falling apart. The people are rebelling against it. And then you have Trump, who's saying he's not going to play by these rules. Now, I don't agree with everything Trump is doing, because in some cases he still has these rotten advisors.
Right.
But what his primary goal is, to overturn the Bush-Obama regime change policy, endless war policy, what Trump said is we're not going to be at war within the first couple of years of my presidency.
Right.
And the United States right now has troops in 70 nations. We're literally in wars that are involving about 10 nations, including African nations. And Trump is saying we've got to get out of this. Now, the British leadership, and I'm talking about the City of London, and the Wall Street neoconservatives in the Democratic and Republican Party are totally opposed to what Trump is doing. And so they're doing everything they can to sabotage it. That's why Bolton spoke the way he did and Pence spoke the way he did. That's why you have this back and forth over China. You know, when Trump talks to Xi Jinping, they get off the phone and they say, okay, we've got a deal.
Right.
And then he sent Wilbur Ross and Peter Navarro and others to consolidate the deal. And they come back and say, China's balking. Well, what China's balking about is not, they're willing to negotiate now and discuss the intellectual property question.
Right.
That's on the table with Trump. They're also willing to accept U.S. car imports without tariffs. They're willing to do, they're cutting back on their steel exports. Trump negotiated with them to save a Chinese company.
In fact, that's something people couldn't understand. Why did he do that with ZTE? He did it because he's still negotiating. There's a lot of moving parts to this, isn't there?
Exactly. It's very complicated, but the Chinese are open on every single area except two. One, they're not going to accept American banking policy because they know it's no damn good. And secondly, they're not going to pull back on the New Silk Road policy. In fact, they want the U.S. to join them in that. So the problem we have with China is the insistence of people like Mnuchin and some of the others in the Treasury Department that China, if they don't accept the opening of their banking system, then there's no way we can trade with them. And someone's got to sit down with Trump and remind him why.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you guys can.
It's a no.
Back. So, Harley, what's the latest story? We have to, you know, I think you're just basically talking about international relations that make common sense, doesn't it?
Well, I think what the president convinced the American people is two things. One is that the Hillary Clinton would continue the failed policies of Obama and Bush.
Right.
And those would be harmful to the American people.
Right.
And secondly, why not try real negotiations? And instead of embracing that, the foreign policy establishment, which is largely British-oriented and New York banker-oriented, said, no, we're not going to let you do that. Now, what I've presented so far tonight is a picture which shows the interconnection between the financial elites and the foreign policy elites.
Right.
Their commitment to policies that have failed and put us into wars and on the verge of a war with Russia, possibly trade wars with Europe and China, where the president is right to say we have to solve these problems. But he's being pushed by some of these hardliners who want the thing to blow up.
Right.
Now, what we've done is we've put together a memo to President Trump, declassify it, says end the special relationship with the UK and declassify the documents that show the UK involvement with Brennan and Clapper. And I'll make this available to any of your listeners who would like to get it. If they send an email to me, my personal address, I'll send it out right away. It's an extremely important document because it reviews in detail what you and I have been discussing tonight.
Right.
How the U.S. intelligence establishment under Obama and the Republicans and Democrats in the Congress are out to sabotage the results of an election, just as the European Union elite tried to sabotage the results of the Italian election.
Right.
And so, and then I'll also send as an added bonus my latest article. So what people can get from this is an in-depth picture of the fraud that's been perpetrated against them, including now by people like Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, I can't believe what he did there. Actually, it's so obvious. He's leaving the Congress, and now his behavior's totally changed. And I also, Napolitano, I don't know. I know there's two judges that are going to come up this fall for the Supreme Court. We have, and I have a feeling that the jostling around by these people like Gowdy and Napolitano is to try to say, am I on the list or not, Trump? And their behavior seems to be changing for that reason, isn't it?
You know, who might be an interesting choice now is Alan Dershowitz.
Dershowitz actually would be a kind of a level-headed guy. I mean, even though he's a previous Democrat supporter, he's come out so much in support of bipartisan viewpoints on these things, he actually is getting persecuted by the left. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Well, he's also coming out attacking the whole modus operandi of the Mueller investigation.
Right.
He's saying it's unconstitutional.
Well, he's right too, isn't he?
But I think the point, the deeper point here, is that I just saw another series of articles in the last 24 hours about this British connection. It's getting out everywhere.
Right.
It used to be that you and I discussed it, and maybe a few of your listeners bought into it, but most people said, you know, what are they talking about, the British?
Exactly.
Now, it's everywhere, because people are beginning to see that Britain may be not a military power anymore, but through their tax haven islands, through their unregulated shadow banking system, through the money laundering that goes through their banks. They're the world's dominant financial power. They control the derivatives market along with...
Which is hundreds of times more than the entire GDP of the entire planet. People don't realize that we now have the new British wave, the waves. You know, they used to say Britain rules the waves. Well, they rule the waves in the bubble economy, don't they?
Yeah, that's by intent. And I just met with someone the other day, a very interesting fellow who lives here in Berlin now, who wrote a book called Treasure Islands. And his name is Nicholas.
Funny guy, obviously.
And he's the guy who did the work that went into this movie called The Spider's Web,
right.
The Second British Empire. And that's, by the way, that's available. Your listeners can Google it. I think it's Vimeo puts it out, but it's The Spider's
Web. I'll find it and put a link up to our Vimeo. By the way, I like Vimeo way better than any other platform, including YouTube. For putting out videos. So we're going to be doing simulcast videos from live stream directly to Vimeo, and Vimeo bought live stream, which is the best platform for video podcasting.
Well, and this documentary is about 60 minutes. It makes the conclusive point that the British Empire dominates world banking.
Right.
And that the U.S. is a subsidiary force in this, but the role the U.S. plays is they use the U.S. military power, including through NATO, as a blackmail threat against any country that might break. Now, what do they say to countries like Belgium and Denmark and Greece and Italy? They say, you have to go along with our policy, or else. Or else what? Well, we won't sell bonds. We won't give you credit, because all the credit now for these countries has to come through Brussels, which means through the banks of Frankfurt and London. And the added blackmail threat is, if you don't go along with us, you're going to be facing an aggressive Russian military without the support of the U.S. and NATO. So,
in other words, they're trying to cut off even NATO support for them, because it's Europe that has the deal with NATO, not the individual nations, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and the individual nations, you have some crazies in every country. You know, people like John Bolton. There's a Polish John Bolton I saw the other day who said that the Poles are willing to spend $2 billion to station 20,000 Americans permanently inside Poland. Now, it's completely crazy.
Right. We just lost our connection again with Harley. My computer crashed again. So that's why it made that big loud noise. Are you still there, Jason? Hello, Jason. So, yeah, so basically we lost our connection with Harley. Hopefully we'll reconnect here in a second. What's going on now is actually very, very scary with North Korea. I have a feeling unless some other elements are brought into this, including probably open negotiations on the platform, not just behind the scenes with Russia and China, unless they we have things taken off the shelf, such as a war crimes tribunal, and then we have, you know, retraining and food and other supplies being brought into North Korea, I don't think it's going to solve. I think also the idea we're continue to have a situation where we are purposely kind of excluding Russia from negotiations and continue to persecute them, I think, is part of our problem. We've actually created a situation that has caused more problems, and in fact, it's probably the primary reason why we are not, how can I say, solving these issues, and in fact, almost guaranteeing down the road a catastrophe. And let's see if we can reconnect to Harley here for the last few minutes of this. There we are. So we're reconnecting here now. Harley, we disconnected there.
I know, and that was very strange.
It was strange. Well, is it again? Remember, I didn't leave their attacks on my computer for 9 months since they did the update last September. I've had blue screen of death attacks on my computer. I've talked to Microsoft so many times. I've bumped up from a level 1 to level 2 technician, and I'm getting to get up my technical training on this. And I realize these people are stupid or evil. The fact that they've set up their software that if you don't think it's compatible with something you plugged into your USB port, they'll crash your computer. And I believe it's actual physical attacks, because I've had sometimes actually where my phone and my internet and everything goes down, so I can't communicate at all. So please close off your last comments here.
Yeah, my comment is, I'll give my email address again, harleysch@gmail.com. That's harleysch@gmail.com. I'll send you the ammunition you need to be able to make sure that we defeat this coup in the United States run by the Brennans and the Clappers and the Obamas, who are trying to destroy America and turn it into a minor part of a global empire.
Right. Yeah, in fact, I see that Trump is kind of stumbling on some things he seems to do right, and other things he's like ignorant of a lot of the moving parts of this whole process of negotiation and moving toward where you can have a win-win situation with China and Russia. You can bring down the sanctions, literally start to modernize Russia with industry, have a situation where intellectual property is respected, but have bilateral treaties where you don't destroy industries in America that supply China with food and other materials they need. At the same time, we can rebuild industry here in America. I think there's a way of doing this. We have to find a way, because the way beyond trade, if we don't solve this problem, the result eventually is war. And the kind of war we're looking at is a thermonuclear, biological, chemical, and scalar war that'll end most of humanity in the next 10 years. So if we don't solve this with Trump, we're done as a human race, aren't we?
So get our memo and circulate it and get people on board.
Thank you, Harley. Amazing show today.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.